Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a good weekend. It was a little of everything for the weekend. We had some beautiful weather. We had some stormy weather, and then Auburn baseball on the verge of being eliminated from the SEC tournament, and they still have to have everything go perfectly to even have a chance. But an amazing ninth inning, two out, nobody on rally yesterday. We'll talk with Cooper McMurray at the bottom of hour number two. But right now, until then, we're wide open, and there's a lot to talk about. Auburn, what you got? Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com. Already got a hand up like this breaking news.
Well, there is Auburn got a commitment from former Akron offensive lineman Ronan Chambers. I believe he just has 1 year of eligibility left. He was committed to Tulane. Don't exactly know where he fits in. I think he's more of a tackle, but they wouldn't be bringing the guy in with a year of eligibility left unless they didn't think he was going to compete for a spot right away. So interesting pickup for the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, so another that will be another veteran, and he's a guy that's played both left and right tackle at Akron.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
And was he headed to Tulane? He had committed, I believe, earlier in the transfer portal cycle. He had committed to play for John Summerall at Tulane instead. Gets the SEC offer. Going to come compete for a spot on the Auburn two deep, a spot in the rotation. It's not just the five starters who play on the offensive line for Hugh Freeze. There is a role for the first man up at tackle, first man up at guard, first man up at center. We saw that last year. I don't have the number in front of me. Quite a few different players got at least one start.
Yeah, I think it was either seven or eight that got at least one start. But that's really interesting because it appeared. I mean, I think Brian, we felt we had a pretty good idea the starting lineup coming out of spring. That may not change, but it'll be interesting to see. Like you said, I doubt that this young man is coming in with no expectations. Of having a chance to start.
Yeah, and maybe it's a little, looking at his bio, he played in 22 and 21.
Yeah, I believe.
And 23.
I believe this is his fourth year. I mean,
right. He played six games in 2020. Of course, you get the COVID year.
Right, so that should be, this should be his final year. I've read that a couple of times.
Sometimes things aren't exactly as they seem, so we'll see, but there's also the point that Hugh Freeze likes to have at least a three deep on his offensive line. I'm not sure the numbers now, so maybe he just wants to come play at a bigger school, and Auburn wants to add a depth piece there, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, so Auburn adding a player there in football. They still may not be done. We still got to find out what happens with Khalil Jacobs, who wasn't going to take visits. Now he is going to take a couple of more visits.
Niceville Eagle, Jacobs. But it's with Chambers, I'm fairly confident he's got 1 year of eligibility.
Yes, I am too.
I would be surprised otherwise. He played 4 years for Akron, appeared in 37 games over that time. Mm-hmm. Did not. I think he appeared in enough football over those 4 years to he can't take a red shirt.
Well, the one year that he didn't play in a lot of games was 20, and so that doesn't matter anyway. So that's three years where he played in more games than you can.
He's a fifth year senior without. Right. I mean, but still an important piece for Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
To see if bumped into Jack Driscoll over the weekend. He was in town. I think his little brother graduated from Auburn this weekend. But Jack Driscoll, who I believe is still, think he's on the, is it the taxi squad? Is that what they call? Is that a basketball term? Is it
football?
Football. Yeah. I mean, he's involved. He's in the Dolphins organization somewhere. But I know he's in Miami and working and playing for the Dolphins. Good to see a guy who came in another small school offensive lineman. Jack was a UMass guy. Auburn little bit similar to this in that if you remember Auburn looked at what they had at tackle. Whatever year that was that Jack Driscoll came in, Auburn looked at what they had at tackle after spring practice was over, and the transfer portal or whatever it was, the graduate transfer market was in its relative infancy compared to now. But Auburn went and saw a starting caliber tackle making himself available for graduate school from UMass, and they jumped at the opportunity to bring him in. And he's still out there playing football, and you never know. This Ronan Chambers from Akron could end up being a where's the most vulnerable spot?
Definitely right guard
on the offensive line. Yeah. To add it. You think it would be?
I mean, he's played tackle, but a lot of times tackles can slide into guards easily.
Yeah, I mean,
guards,
well, that's what I said. He's played both left and right tackle. So
I think our coaches love our current starting tackles too.
I think that's pretty fair.
And Tyler Johnson is a piece that they we hear good things about too, but Percy and Tuttle Auburn is. I want to be careful about this.
No, I do think Dan and Brian. I think that Auburn was looking for to fortify the interior more than they were the tackles.
I think that Auburn at tackle right now. I think Percy and Tuttle are. I don't want to get carried away, but it's a better situation than Auburn has had at tackle in.
Oh yeah,
a long time.
That's what I want to say. Yeah, I want to be careful about this. I mean, when they had Jack Driscoll and Prince Tega, I mean that Prince Tega is still in the NFL. I believe he's on a roster somewhere. And Jack Driscoll. I mean, they had a couple of guys that were pros out there playing tackle. You know, I think that Percy and Tuttle are also viewed as. I don't know exactly what the draft folks think of either of them, but. It seemed like Auburn has a couple of guys that could very well be football players for a long time as their starting tackles, which is so crucial.
Yeah,
well, now, and, I mean that can't be a weakness for an effective offense.
And you mentioned Tyler Johnson behind number two at left tackle. They also got Seth Wilford they brought in. He's just a sophomore, got 3 years eligibility at right tackle, and Favor Edwin, who I think is going to develop into a really good tackle. He's a true freshman who arrived in the spring, got some tremendous athleticism and size. So, yes, I would say the tackle position is in better shape than it's been in decades.
Yeah, I know a lot of fans still think, yeah, we need more tackles, but
I don't,
and sure, if you can get them, bring them on. But I think Auburn's in good shape.
I think there's also the possibility. I don't think this is Plan A, but Dylan Wade has played a lot of tackle, like in a pinch in an emergency. I know they'd rather have him at guard, but it's like Keontae playing outside. Like if circumstances necessitate that Keontae Scott move back inside to nickel, Bill, you think there's a chance he'll move back inside to nickel?
Yeah.
And I think that if circumstances on the offensive line say, hey, we need Dylan Wade to go back to tackle, and we'll find whatever it is at guard. He's played more tackle than anyone on the team except Tuttle and Percy Lewis at the SEC level. I'm not saying it's Plan A, but if they had someone else they felt good about at guard and bringing in Ronan Chambers. I mean,
so I think Ronan fits more at guard. I think right guard, where you've had Jeremiah Wright coming out of spring as the first team guy, but not a whole lot of depth there. You got Jaden Muskrant, who started some, of course, Dylan Wade, and then after those guys, it's mostly young folks.
Yeah, it's like the Auburn kids, the Auburn high kids.
What I'm saying is, if something happened to one of the two tackles,
I think it'd be Tyler Johnson next up.
Could be Tyler Johnson.
Yeah.
You could, depending on what you think of Chambers. You could slide Dylan Wade back to tackle
or you could put Chambers at tackle,
or you could slide Dylan Wade back out from guard to tackle and play him there and go with Chambers at guard. I mean, they have options, and Chambers' versatility opens up even more possible combinations there on the offensive line. So I'd say it's a nice pickup.
All right, so Auburn with an addition there, as we mentioned, they are still pursuing some other options. We mentioned Khalil Jacobs. Now, another player that Auburn had been recruiting has decided to go elsewhere, Javion Cole, committing to Oklahoma. So I wonder if Auburn's still pursuing another defensive back, Brian? Do you know?
I think they'll look, right? I don't know anybody specifically, but I think you know, there could be a need there for a guy who can come in and at least provide depth at corner, especially if you can get a guy with multiple years of eligibility left. Definitely, I think that outside linebacker position is one they'd like to fill. You know, they've got, what, five or six or so spots left. I didn't realize offensive line was a need, but now when you look at it, you know, I can see where interior offensive line, you could use another veteran in there. So that's what I'm guessing that's what he's going
to
end up doing.
Who's playing center if something happens to Connor? Tate Johnson?
Tate Johnson had a really good spring.
Okay.
I mean, back from his injury, mm-hmm. he was actually pushing Connor.
And you know who else was working at center this spring is Dylan Senda.
Dylan Senda, yeah. who folks
he
forget
was,
about.
He was the third center this spring.
Who I you know, Dylan Senda's got a cool story as far as a guy who showed up so late transferring from Northwestern. And, like, that's a guy, I'd be careful to throw away the chance that you get to see Dylan Senda contribute someday in his Auburn career. Now that Auburn is, they've got three or four options at tackle, maybe more. They just added Ronan Chambers. I wonder if center would be the spot where, or maybe it's another guard to keep to keep bolstering that spot. But it's I do wonder if Brian, you think they might not be finished? They might add another offensive lineman to this group before the season starts.
No, I don't think they need another offensive lineman.
No, they may not be finished football wise, but I think they're done on the offensive line.
Where do you think they might be looking to add defensive back in the
outside linebacker, potentially a cornerback? Yeah, those would be a couple areas. And any guy that still has a bunch of eligibility left, they think can be a future player for him. You know,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, if there's somebody that just pops in there, hey, this guy's got 3 years of eligibility left. We'll sign this, guy in whatever position, defensive line, or a guy that can help us in a few years.
I made the point. I know nothing about how this guy's recruitment is going, Bill. But like, if Auburn had not hit on some of the true freshman receivers coming in, and they wanted to load the receiver room with potential,
I guess Elijah Saunders is still somebody they've been in contact with at receiver. Yeah, right, Brian.
I believe so. Yes,
Elijah Saunders is the.
Oh, golly.
Is he the Arizona State receiver? Because there's another Arizona State receiver.
Where is Saunders from? I mean, that's just, golly, I should know. I mean, but I know Auburn had been – that's the guy that popped up a couple of days ago and had a lot of schools.
Well, Elijah Saunders is a San Diego State basketball player.
Oh, my bad. There's a receiver. Golly, that's
– There's an Arizona State. I know. We're keeping up different sports.
Basketball. Yeah, we hadn't got into basketball portal yet. There's a receiver. I didn't think it was an Arizona State guy. There's a receiver – that Auburn had been in contact with as well.
There's an Arizona State receiver who's had like 130, 140 catches the last 2 years that popped into the portal kind of surprisingly that people think. I know people thought that – where did Rashad end up going? Georgia?
The
quarterback from Arizona State. People thought that they might go as sort of a package deal, which I can understand why a receiver with 130 catches in the Pac-12 the last 2 years would look at Georgia and say, maybe sign me up to be on – what folks think would I think the consensus number one team in the country going into this upcoming season, but no, the player I was talking about was Carmelo English, the guy if you remember.
Oh,
you
know, I have not heard a word.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I mean going into the portal from Michigan, a guy that was Brian, you remember Carmelo English, a fairly hot property coming out of high school, Central Phoenix City kid, ends up in Michigan. It's like the point I was making is if Auburn,
Elijah Badger, it is the Arizona State receiver.
That's the Arizona State receiver who's had 135 catches last 2 years. But in the case of Carmelo English, who I haven't heard anything about it either. Maybe he's signed somewhere.
At least and I had the first name right.
Been paying attention, but in like if Auburn had not hit on some of these potential filled young wide receivers coming out of high school. And they were looking to bring more potential into the wide receiver room. Maybe a guy who was a 4-star, 5-star coming out of Central Phoenix City a year ago would be a more interesting prospect. And maybe that, like you said, maybe if they think the guy could be a player down the line, they'll kick the tires on that anyway. But I think it seems like they're looking more proven now that they've found some guys with potential coming out of high school that they really like.
All right, so that's pretty much it in the football transfer portal, including an addition. Today we'll get to the basketball transfer portal. There's plenty to talk about there as well. Players heading elsewhere. Auburn with new targets. We'll talk about that and more. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Drew is at the controls. Love for you to join in. You can call us on The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321 1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
We'll get to our first break. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
At Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air.
390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 19 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Brian. Okay. True at the controls. Come on in and join us.
Congratulations to the new Auburn alumni. Everyone graduating this weekend. Very exciting time. Brian Matthews and I bumped into each other this weekend, yeah. As a matter of fact, Bill. I was exiting the multiplex, seeing a film this weekend. And, I saw Challengers. Brian and the gang were out there to celebrate the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the prequels, but I got all my kids into Star Wars, and they like the prequels. I think that whole generation likes the prequels, so we went and saw it.
There are flaws in Phantom Menace, and I was very excited when it first came out, and it kind of disappointed me as a big original trilogy guy. But as time goes on, I can admire a lot of the movie making in it, and some of the performances are great. Some of the, especially remembering that this was 1999, a lot of the stuff had never really been attempted before with green screens and digital filmmaking. Like it's a it has a special place in the hearts of like younger fans. Yeah. I think too, it's a real touchstone. My younger siblings enjoy the prequels quite a bit, and this re-releases this and Shrek 2 being back in theaters are very big for kids of a certain age. But yeah, the lot of folks just saw the box office returns. A lot of folks saw the prequels this weekend. And speaking of box office, Bill, Mystic Dan at the box office on Saturday, my man, with the big win in the Kentucky Derby.
Man, there and
what a finish
in racing! Great, unbelievable finishes on the tracks.
Oh sure, the NASCAR finish. Yeah. The NASCAR finish outstanding.
I mean, that was
too.
Unbelievable. There, I mean, both of them were just amazing.
Very cool. You know, some of the sports we don't talk about a ton, but great. I mean, as thrilling a Kentucky Derby as NBC could have asked for. Again, you think about the Heisman Trophy ceremony being 2.5 hours of filler leading up to an announcement and a short speech. The Kentucky Derby broadcast is just 5 hours of. I mean, it's a tough watch leading up.
It is.
I mean, unless you're.
And I didn't. And I missed it again. I mean, like I always
caught
do.
The race.
I'm going to watch it. And then the pre-race is so long that I go, I'll do something else. And then I completely forget and I miss it.
I set the alarm. I was ready to go. I was getting ready for the baseball game Saturday night, which I checked out as well. But a very fun Kentucky Derby with the winner, as I believe I predicted.
Well, you did when you heard the name.
On Friday's show, Brian.
Nice
I said,
call.
I said, watch out for Mystic Dan.
Nice
and
like
congratulations
it.
to my main man.
How did you celebrate the big win? Did you get mystical?
Oatmeal. Big old bowl of oatmeal from a man. And now let's win the Triple Crown. Mm-hmm. I think Mystic Dan can do it. I think he's got the stuff. So we'll see what happens in 2 weeks. What is it, Preakness? Belmont? Preakness is next.
Yeah.
Mystic Dan's taking the Preakness. Watch out, guys. We're going all the way. We're going all the way this year.
I want to add that going to Phantom Menace allowed me to push my agenda that the Jedi are the bad guys. Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically went to this desert planet.
Colonizers,
they kidnapped a little kid.
Yeah.
Left his mother in captivity, and you know, she's a slave, right? And then
so was the little kid, to be fair.
Well, they kidnapped him.
They did.
And then now they're going to take him to some academy and teach him how to fight with swords at like a young age. I mean, does that seem like the right thing to do?
You're suggesting that the kids going to the Jedi Academy probably aren't old enough to consent to the training and
probably
stuff.
Probably not.
It seems like, yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Interesting. It's an interesting thought.
And of course, they're not supposed to have personal connections, right? I mean, what kind of, I mean, that's just.
No, I think there's, there's some solid, I mean, love Ewan as Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
In the first one. Liam Neeson. Too, showing you didn't see Liam Neeson in that many action movies. is pre-taking.
No, you're right.
This is pre-taking. Yep. You didn't see him, and then 10 years later, now it's all he does. Right now, it's like it's second career for Liam Neeson. Yeah. He's like,
He's had so many kids and wives kidnapped. Now it's just crazy how lucky that guy
is. Right. Don't get near him with a kid.
He's like the dad on Bonanza.
He's trying to make up.
That's right.
He's trying to make
like
up.
Any of them. It's like any girl that anybody on Bonanza was ever interested in. They were gone.
Trying to make up for the crimes he committed in Phantom Menace.
I guess so. All right. Bill, Dan, and Brian here. And yeah, we'll talk
completely
some sports as well.
Off the rails.
How about basketball transfer portal? All right.
Yes, I've heard of it.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I asked the guys before because I have heard multiple different pronunciations. It says Uchor.
Just check the
pronunciation. Was that on Samford's?
Those are Samford's game
Maybe
notes.
Maybe that's why he left.
Just check the
media. Got tired of calling him by the wrong pronunciation.
Just check the game notes for a Samford game.
Uchor.
Yeah, Uchor is how Samford says.
I mean, it looks like Acor. First, when I looked at it, I thought his name is Anchor. No, it's like there's no N there. But I've heard Acor. I've heard Acor. I've heard Uchor, and it's apparently Uchor.
I'll probably mispronounce it.
But
the
thing is,
times, yeah.
We won't have to say it that many times or twice.
What is
if he doesn't pick Auburn? But he's supposed to be visiting Auburn, I believe. They're trying to get him in Wednesday.
Yeah, they're trying to get him and Jordan Ivy Curry in this week.
Yeah, I think Ivy Curry is supposed to be in Thursday.
Ivy Curry's the road runner who had a stop at UTSA at Pacific.
Yeah, he took 1 year to Pacific and came back. He was at UTSA for 2 years, Pacific 1 year, and back to UTSA last year.
Yep. So, I mean, those two would be great. If you look at if Auburn get a scoring combo guard and Jordan Ivy Curry is that, and they can get another four, and I think
we're calling him Uchor.
Uchor. To me, I think he's better than RJ Godfrey. I mean, I know.
Oh, he is.
RJ
he's more proven.
A,
no,
he's
the,
more
the
proven
quest,
than
the
RJ
question
Godfrey.
To, the question to me is he better than Chaney Jones?
Well, I mean,
that's the question.
Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah,
he might
if he
be.
Is, and that's
it's
where,
a real competition.
I mean, because
sure.
We've been talking about Auburn, looking for depth at the four. Uchor is not depth at the four. This guy was
he's
a high level.
He's competing for a starting spot.
Yeah, this guy was a high level. I mean, it's fair to wonder.
He put in 25, I think, against Kansas.
It's fair to wonder if Chaney Johnson would have been that productive at the Samford level playing the minutes Uchor played last season. He was very efficient. He was very good at
what
a lot of different ways.
What were Chaney's numbers at UAH his last year?
That's interesting. I wonder, they're
not dissimilar, although UAH is not at the levels.
It's not the it's not the Big South or the Southern Conference or
what you got, Brian?
Cecil Ingram, Hootie Ingram has passed away at 90 years old today.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Former Alabama AD.
Right. So that news.
Very sad news. Yeah.
Yes, that is.
Say how old was he?
90.
90. It's a good run, but still very sad. News.
All right.
All the best.
334-321-1390. We'll talk more about the basketball portal and much more. Alabama picking up literally a big, big commitment from Cliff Omoruyi today. The former Rutgers.
Scarlet Knight?
Yeah.
One of the best defensive
big men.
Two-time All Big Ten. I mean, this is a really nice pickup
Omoruyi.
Inside.
Omoruyi, for
an Alabama team. I'll check the game notes on that one, too.
Yeah.
For an Alabama team that – When they played really high level competition, even leading up to the win over UNC in the Sweet 16, when UNC was a one seed, the question was, how are they going to protect the rim? Right, like folks were wondering, like, what's this Alabama team was a rim protector away. I think someone said early in this offseason, Bill, I think it was off the air. Somebody said it was a text where it was the. If you put Mark Sears on this Auburn team, they'd be a preseason number three, top three, maybe number one. It's like if you took Jani Broom and put him on Alabama, the one thing they're missing, they've gone out and found not necessarily Jani Broom, but they've gone out and they found a legitimate major conference high level rim protector to put around everything else that they've brought in and kept. I mean, we're still waiting to hear what Mark Sears is going to do officially.
Yep.
This is what would you guess would be like the highest expectations Alabama has ever had going into a season?
Top five.
Okay, because I think
Alabama would be a top five team if they get everybody back,
and they could push that. I mean, this season, about. I mean, I don't know the highest they've ever been going. I mean, as Doug, I was on the Doug show earlier today, and he pointed out that Nate Oates has had five straight seasons where it's
top 10,
where at some point during the season the team has reached, I believe it's the top six. In at some point in five or six straight years. So, I mean, he's got it rolling, and this is a really big pickup for them.
Well, we were going to get to Spectre, but we got carried away. Spectre, I tell you what we'll do. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break here early. Yeah, I know. If Spectre wants to call in, that's what I mean. If he wants to call back, we can go to him first out of the bottom of the hour break. So we will do that. We're just a quarter of the way into the show here on the Monday Drive. To him, and we will. Spectre is up first this segment here on the drive. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, well, bringing up old news from about 15 minutes ago, I guess. Yeah, I watched both races, and funny, at the race, I was at a friend's house, and we have a big competition on Derby Day.
Mm-hmm.
The winner, what we do, we pick three horses, and whoever gets the closest to winning gets the top prize, which is a porterhouse. And of course,
did you listen to what Dan said Friday? I mean, of course, he just did it because of the name.
How dare you?
I didn't, but I will say this. I picked Mystic Dan because of
Wow.
Dan.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
And of course, the three horses I picked were Mystic Dan and, can't remember what was the third horse?
Sierra Leone, right?
Forever Young and Stronghold. Those were the three horses I picked. Forever Young finished third. Stronghold, I think, was seven. But anyway, I got the porterhouse.
Yeah,
good deal.
You're
congratulations.
Welcome.
Congratulations.
Enjoy your steak, Specter.
Yes, I did. And of course, the NASCAR race. I mean, that was history in the making right there, fellas. Did any of you see it?
I
just saw the highlights.
Yeah, I've seen the extended highlights and the finish. I was not watching live when it happened, but wow.
Yeah, it was typical banging doors racing right down to the stripe. I loved it. Loved every minute of it. Of course, guys weren't so eager that they were going to wreck each other. They were just banging each other trying to get the momentum.
No, I think NASCAR is pretty happy with the on track product this season. Yeah. Right, you've gotten a couple of really, really good finishes so far early on. Talladega was kind of marred by weather, but what they've been able to control, they've got, was it the second race of the year where you had that photo finish too, right after Daytona, and then you get the one this weekend. So a couple of some thrilling stuff happening on the racetrack.
Let me bring this up to Brian before I hang up because I got to go. The reason why they kidnapped Luke was because Obi-Wan knew that he was the son of Darth Vader, and he didn't want Luke to get in the wrong hands.
Oh, I was talking about Anakin.
Yeah, he's talking Episode One. He's
right,
talking the 99 movie. Yeah. Your point is well taken about. Yeah. Yeah. About especially once the uncle and aunt get knocked off by the right. by the stormtroopers, you know, Luke's an orphan at that point, you know, needs somebody to step in. But no, it's a little more debatable about the actions of the Jedi in the original and in the prequels.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I got.
Good hearing from you, Spectre.
Hey, you too.
All right, take care. 334-321-1390. That is the drive hotline.
A lot of Jar Jar in that first one too. That's the thing, you know. It's
too much.
Yeah, it's a little probably too much.
No.
A little too much Jar Jar for my taste in that first one.
Yeah. Let's see.
Baseball.
Oh yeah, baseball. An unbelievable finish yesterday, as Tex pointed out. Yes, two outs, two strikes,
yep.
Nobody on, down one. Bottom of the ninth.
And Mason Maynard's had a big swing. Drove that ball just past the first baseman down the line. Got a triple. Caleb Freeman came up as a pinch hitter.
And had not had a pinch hit all year.
Yep.
We were going to go to the game yesterday. We went Friday night. Had the granddaughter on Saturday. So I was watching some of the game Saturday. We're going to go yesterday. And it poured. I mean, it absolutely
it did.
Stormed and poured at our house. We got a couple of inches of rain before last night. I know there's some other places in town didn't get much rain, but there was lightning and the game was delayed, so ended up not being able to make it to the game.
There's some heavy rain downtown, a couple points, last night.
There was some serious rain overall, which was fine. But anyway, watching it, and I mean, giving up five, you know.
In the first, you think it's over.
Yeah, Carson Myers unable to get out of the first inning, gives up five in the top of the first. Auburn battles back the tide at five, takes the lead. 6-5 goes down. 7-6 goes up.
9-7.
Yeah.
Wait, no. 8-6, wasn't it?
Yeah. They're up two. Yeah, they go up 8-6. And then three runs in the top of the ninth for Ole Miss. And it's like,
Here we go again.
It's like this is going to be just the worst way to go ahead and basically get eliminated is to have a game like that. And then that was still the craziest finish I've ever seen. After Freeman's pinch hit, Javon Hernandez pinch runs and was it wild pitch to second, but then pass ball to third and home.
It was stolen base to third. And then pass ball home.
Yeah.
Now the stolen base to third, I believe that ball was also misplayed.
Oh, it was completely misplayed
by the catcher.
By the catcher.
But it was credit as a stolen base, but he got
that's right.
You know what? And he was going.
And they just brought that catcher in the bottom of the night.
And Javon, he's going on the one to second. But that one's a true passed ball, so they don't give him the credit for the stolen base. But I mean, he really stole second and stole third, and then because even at that, it's fair to wonder if the one to second, if that's played correctly, if they're able to. But it's stolen base to third, and then
the passed ball,
and then a passed ball gets him on base, and the pinch hit to get the base runner on to get Maynard
home. By Caleb Freeman.
I mean, Freeman comes in.
Yeah.
I don't know what he'd been in his last 10 or 20.
He's been swinging the bat pretty good.
Yeah, he has been swinging the bat pretty well, but as a pinch hitter, he was like, I since we were watching it on TV, they pointed out he was 0-for-7 as a pinch hitter. So big time for his
first
pinch
hitter. Did you see Javon Hernandez's quote? I loved his quote.
No, I didn't.
The nerds?
He said, I was fueled on Skittles and nerd clusters in the dugout, so I was ready.
Yeah, he said.
For coming in the pinch run.
Something like Ricky Bobby would say.
That's awesome.
All right. Speaking of baseball, let's get to our favorite baseball caller, and that's Tex. Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Tex.
I called just to interrupt the horse racing talk. No, just kidding. I'm glad you're talking a little bit about the baseball. I got up at 5 o'clock this morning because I couldn't take it anymore, and I had to rewatch the ninth inning. I thought I had dreamed that we gave up a lead in the ninth, and that we scored in an unorthodox manner.
Oh, it was pretty unorthodox.
But Manners had two strikes on him.
Yeah.
When he hit the triple, number one. And then when the base hit that drove him in happened, did you notice that the second
base? Oh, absolutely. When it happened, I saw him throw the glove, and I went, that looks like a T-ball. Not a T, maybe your first-year coach pitch kind of play.
Anything to stop him from going into the outfield.
And was it Greg Olson saying, hey, that should have been a triple?
You're
supposed to get extra bases when a player attempts to do that,
I wasn't aware of that.
At least that used to be the rule.
Yes, I looked it up.
Okay, I knew it used to be the rule.
What's the rule, Tex?
The rule is the base runner is awarded two extra bases when that happens.
Whether you make contact with your glove or not, if you throw your glove at the ball.
So, I mean, you get two extra bases. The pinch runner, Hernandez should have been at third, or whoever, Freeman should have been awarded third base.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that called in a college baseball game before. Like, I mean,
I don't think I've ever seen you hardly ever in a college game throw the glove.
That's what I mean. That's amazing.
I can find you a T-ball game on a Saturday.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Do you get extra bases in T-ball if it happens?
No. No. Do you get extra bases in T-ball when anything happens.
Make contact.
when everything happens.
So you're talking to somebody that will just as soon watch 5-year-olds play T-ball and then do anything else.
Oh, man, it is as enjoyable. It is so much fun.
Yes, as a matter of fact,
I got a couple of years to go before I get to watch that.
The better half, Morris, is in South Georgia right now, And in about 18 minutes, our five-year-old actually starts a – it's not coach's pitch. They have a machine that actually tosses it up.
That's good.
So consistently strikes. And he was 3 for 3 last week. So
because
we'll
it was tough in coach pitch trying to hit the kids' bats. I mean, exactly. That's what you do.
Exactly. So they play with a little softball, but I got videos of him last week hitting three balls into the outfield.
Oh, that's
five
great.
Years old. So now, of course, the outfield's not very far at that time. Anyway, so basketball recruiting. Are we going to be able to secure an additional guard in a big before the summer?
Well, they've got two guys coming in this week. Jordan Ivy Curry is down to three schools.
UCF, Wake Forest.
He had a Zoom call with Auburn on Sunday. He's supposed to be coming in Thursday. Yes, Central Florida and Wake Forest are the other two schools. And I believe after his visit Thursday, he's supposed to make a decision pretty soon. So I think they've got I would think they've got a pretty good shot at getting him. You remember Kansas and Oklahoma and some other schools had been in touch with him. He had a Zoom with Kansas, I believe, before he did the one with Auburn. So Auburn has made a pretty good pitch to be able to get an official visit from him. And then we were talking about the 6'8 product out of Melbourne, Australia, Achor, who played at Samford this past year. I'm still not 100% sure that's how he wants his name pronounced. We'll call him whatever he wants.
Yep.
But he is a player. I think that it'd be really interesting if Auburn gets him to watch the competition between him and Chaney Johnson to see who turns out to be the starter there at the power forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting because don't they historically, but the basketball team works out a lot during the summer.
Yes.
They do now, yes. They can they can have practices now during the summer.
But I think if you add a player in the next month or so, they can come to Auburn without necessarily enrolling. I mean, they could take classes in the summer. They could still spend time around the team without enrolling until the fall. It's just, I suppose time is of the essence because you're competing against other places for a player like Achor. Like, I don't know how long a guy like that's going to stay on the market before a team before a team snaps him up.
Yes. So, all right. So we've got four of us here that watch a lot of baseball. What would be the first thing you would attempt to fix starting in the summer? Actually, probably starting 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago.
Well, boy, it's going to be really interesting watching the roster management. Who wants to stay? Who can you get to stay? And then what do you need to do? I mean,
their class was pitch heavy. A lot of really good pitchers are supposed to be coming with the class they signed back in November. But obviously, they probably need to go get some more.
I think they need to get some more bats too.
They need to go find a reliable number one.
Their class of high schoolers.
Yes.
Was pitcher heavy.
Signing class.
Yeah. I wonder if it's. I mean, if this team finishes 5-25 or worse in SEC play, which is on the table, with the record right now with six games left, like I feel like there's pressure to improve on that drastically next year. I don't know exactly what that looks like as a number, but it's tough to bet big on freshmen as you're starting pitchers the year after a 5-25. I would think that they need to go find veteran pitching help in the portal and probably multiple guys who can step in as weekend starters. I mean, it's easier said than done.
No, like, Brian's right, though. I mean, Auburn needs a number one. They need the anchor.
Now, I think Cam Tilly can be a starter. I do.
I
wish they would have given him some opportunities more this spring, but, yeah. And then,
well, I would say the only way I disagree with you, Brian, is I think we need a one and a two.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that. Yeah.
You need to go get a one.
Give me a one first, and then give me somebody to compete for the number one. That'd be great.
And then,
and I also think that while I love McMurray a lot and Christian Hall a lot, teams found out about a third of the way through the season where the weakness in their swings were, breaking balls at their feet. You know, they pitched them fastball first pitch away for a strike normally, then breaking ball down at their toes, then change up away, and then breaking ball. That's the pattern that's gone with them since the beginning of, you know, the first third of the season. Big bats have to also be able to create doubles. That's why what Foster hit a lot of home runs, but he also hit a lot of doubles. Line drive balls in the gap are as big as home runs in a lot of situations. I think Irish is that guy if he stays healthy. I don't think he's going anywhere. But can Pierce come back?
I think this is it for him.
I think, Bobby, this was his last year that he could come back.
Cooper could come back if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to see Cooper back if we could just adjust a little bit. And I'm sure, I mean, this is not, if you watch baseball at all, it's not, the coaches aren't sitting there trying to figure out what the issue is.
Yeah.
But like the at-bat, Christian's at-bat will tell you everything that you needed to know if you go back and watch that on TV from Sunday. Yeah. They attacked him exactly like that, and it was a three-pitch at-bat.
Yep. I think Cade Ballou is going to be a good player for Auburn.
Oh, he's not going to be.
He is. He's one of Auburn's better players right now.
Yeah. And Cale Strickland, the catcher, is going to be really good too, I feel like.
Strickland's a dude too. Yep. I think they'll both swing the bat really well. Yep. I think we need to add about three bats. We run really well. We're very aggressive on the bases that we used to not be. But I will tell you, it appears that teams know we don't hunt fastballs on first pitches, but man, the other teams we play against sure do.
Oh boy, do they.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to throw them. So, yeah, so that's all I got. And no, I have still never seen, what's the name of that show you like, Dan?
You talking about Young Sheldon?
Yeah, well, no, I guess.
There's only three left, two of them this week, and then the finale coming up. Although they did.
So you only got a couple of weeks more you'll hear Dan talking about it.
They did officially confirm the spinoff starring Sheldon's brother and wife, Georgie and Mandy, getting their own show this fall. So watch out for that, Tex.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. You got a better chance of me watching the Kentucky Derby than you do me watching Young Sheldon.
Octavia Spencer was great in her guest appearance this past week. Auburn graduate and Academy Award winner. Great stuff, Tex.
Beautiful and intelligent. I don't see why she wouldn't be. All right, guys. Take care.
Hi, Tex. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
With Pig Enterprise.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes here of hour number one. Who we got, Drew?
Evan
is up next. Hey, Evan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Hey, Evan.
Was just going to follow up on some of the baseball chatter there a little bit. Honestly, haven't followed as much as I have in previous years, but curious, you know, with all the pitching struggle, B-Matt, with, you know, you being around the team and covering so much, what's the dynamic kind of been with the new pitching coach, Everett Tiefert, and, you know, seeming fit with Carl and Gabe and those guys that have been around a while? Does it seem like a decent fit, or has it been some struggle seemingly outside looking in?
As far as I know, it's still a good, solid fit. Now, I don't know what that means.
What it seems, yes.
Means for after the season, considering what's going on. You know, that's got to be something to be addressed somehow.
I think you have to do something. There has to be an appearance that you're shaking something up after as big a struggle as this year's been.
But, I don't know for sure what's going to happen there. But as far as I know, everybody gets along well, works well together. And, Tiefert came with his family from a really good job, wanted to settle into a town like Auburn, you know, and raise his family here. So we'll see what happens. I'm not going to make any predictions yet.
Yeah, and with a name I don't feel like I've seen a ton of this year, Drew Nelson. Is he battling injuries and stuff still, or is he just not really got going this year? And I'll hang up and listen for
Drew that. Nelson was.
Yeah,
the question.
I mean, and yeah. I said that to Kathy the other day. I guess it was Friday when he came in the ball game. He just we haven't seen him as much this year, and when we have, he hasn't been very effective. He's a guy that was a factor down the stretch last year. Brian, I don't know.
He's only pitched, I think, three times this season. The last was Ole Miss for like an out, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, really that group of three pitchers they brought in 2 years ago just has not developed like you thought they would.
Yeah, they were pretty highly touted.
I just think he struggles with consistency and getting people out at the moment. But, you know, we'll see if that can change. But I would imagine there's going to be some turnover for Auburn's pitchers going into next season after the performance they put on. Not trying to be mean, but it's been tough this year.
Oh, yeah. Good call, Evan. Appreciate it. We need to get to our top of the hour break. We're halfway done. Phone lines are open for the first half hour when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian, Matthews from auburnsports.com, Drew at the controls, and hour number two, as usual, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Our phone lines are open. We're wide open for the first half hour of the show before we have Tiger Takes with Cooper McMurray at the bottom of the hour. So until then, we'd love for you to join us, and you can call the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors, Alabama-based firm offering incredible opportunities for students seeking a great career without attending a four-year college. 334-209-6355, the number to dial for more from Southeastern Industrial Contractors. You can text us, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box. Podcast of the Drive available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
As we mentioned, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com with us as usual here on the Monday edition of The Drive. B. Matt, just talk about some of the things that are going on. I mean, there's a lot. You mentioned a football addition early, and Auburn looking to add some players to the basketball roster as well.
Yeah, they got a couple of visitors coming in. Jordan Ivy Curry, the combo guard from UTSA,
we
from Samford. I'll never get it right.
We're going to stick with that one for today.
The Samford game notes say Achor. Okay. And I'm going to trust the sports information people at Samford.
With the emphasis on the first syllable.
Yes.
So it's Achor.
Achor.
And of course, Achu.
Yeah. There's the addition of Ronan Chambers, the offensive lineman from Akron today. He is the 14th, I believe, overall addition from the portal, and the 5th this spring. So I think he's probably a depth piece. And, you know, he's played mostly tackle. If they wanted to slide him inside to compete at guard, they could, but I just think he's probably a depth piece.
Interesting. I mean, he's a guy with 1 year of eligibility, listed around 6'6", 290.
Yeah.
Had been committed to Tulane. So there's another addition that gives an Auburn, I believe that gives them 16 offensive linemen on scholarship now.
That sounds right. They like to have a big group, and they've got it. And they've got starters, they got experience, they got depth, they got young, talented guys. This offensive line is being rebuilt, and I think it's finally a functional offensive line with talent throughout the positions and throughout the classes.
Auburn waiting for to see the decision from Khalil Jacobs, who visited Auburn last week, the linebacker from South Alabama, who had said going into the weekend that he probably wasn't going to make any more visits, but now he will visit Alabama and one other school. I forgot who the other school is.
He was going to visit Alabama this weekend. He changed it to this coming up weekend. Right. So that one's going to take a while. His
coach this past year at USA is now Alabama's defensive coordinator.
Womack. Is it Womack?
Yeah, Kane.
Kane Womack. So that's going to be a tough one, but we'll see.
Yep. Basketball, I mean, Auburn's got two more visitors coming in this week as they try to find another guard and another forward.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what this team needs. I think they've got to have that extra guard that can be a backup point guard, that can slide over and be a combo guy, that can score and shoot. We've just seen it. I think Auburn's been a guard short or two, or a playmaker short. The last few years, and it's kept them from really making the run you want to see them make in the postseason. So I think Jordan Ivey Curry would fit that role perfectly.
Got a couple of pretty good basketball names with Jordan and Curry.
Yep.
There it is.
Like
there.
That. Yeah, very good. Yeah, not bad. Yeah,
no kid. All right, let's get to the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and John gets us started. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I was just calling to validate Dan's validation of Young Sheldon. It's an excellent show, in my opinion, better than the original Big Bang.
Yeah, I think it's you got to wait. I think you got to wait till he gets to college because the kids are very young and it's a little cutesy, you know, early on in the show. But once
I just couldn't make myself continue watching. I saw a couple of episodes of the very first year and it was like nah.
There's nothing wrong with the first couple seasons. I prefer it when the actors get a little bit older and the show gets slightly more sophisticated. Yeah. But
CBS's number one rated show, surprisingly. But. But other than that, I was listening to the game yesterday, and the play-by-play guy, I think, was Greg Olson, former Auburn.
He was a color guy. Pitcher. It was Dave Neal and Greg Olson. Well,
on the ESPN broadcast, SC.
In the last two or three innings, he was basically stating verbatim what our pitcher shouldn't do, and he would do just the exact opposite of what Olson said. And he's like throwing meatballs right down the middle of the plate. So I don't know if that's a miscommunication or just – knowledge of being a Hall of Fame, pitcher, but it was like he was clairvoyant in that moment, and hopefully that'll change going into next year. Hopefully we'll be more competitive because 4-21 is not
real. 4-20.
4-20.
4-20.
I joke, you know, I
that's
I,
better with blackbirds than I, it is with baseball.
I joke about the horse that won the Derby, Mystic Dan, and that being a nickname for Greg Olson. That fella's mystic. That fella knows exactly what pitchers should and should not do, and he's very good at explaining it to people. And you're right. He was not holding back those last couple innings, even though Auburn came back and won the game.
And what was the guard's name that's coming in for the visit?
Jordan Ivey Curry. It's Ivy Curry is his last name.
And where's he coming from?
UTSA, right?
Yeah, he was at Texas San Antonio. It's interesting. He was at UTSA for 2 years, transferred to Pacific for a year, and then was back at UTSA this past year. But he's a 6'3 guard that averaged over 17 points, five rebounds, three assists. The only thing that would concern me a little bit is he also averaged 2.5 turnovers.
Yeah.
So, but he is. I've had people say he's like a 6'3 version of KD, who's a better outside shooter because he's also a 39% three-point shooter.
Yeah, full Auburn can use that.
I mean, he's a guy that had a lot of steals, so he's really quick. He's a guy that is as good at taking the ball to the hoop as well as shooting threes.
Well, this is just my opinion, and it's exciting when you have a weakness to be able to go out and, you know, shop for something to fill it, and hopefully they'll bring some chemistry and fit in with the team. But in my opinion, this is absolutely – I can't stand what college athletics has become. It's just, you know, it's basically open market, and whoever's got the biggest pocketbook is going to get the player, seems like, these days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, look, let's face it. I mean, the Duke Miles situation, it looked like he was a lock to Auburn, and Oklahoma just came up with an overwhelming offer. And, you know, what I've heard is that Auburn was given the opportunity to match or top it, and they went, no, that's okay.
Although I'd be more dejected by the Duke Miles thing if he were going somewhere where he also projected as a backup. I think most folks have him as a starting guard now for Oklahoma. So it made sense on the court too. And that's where I understand the concerns John is voicing. But I also think, you know, ultimately playing time is going to matter so much to these guys that, you know, a guy's not going to take a, I don't think, although I guess this fellow from Akron is a, you know, it's a question of how much he's going to play.
He was going to be a starter at Tulane, and now he's coming to Auburn where there's no guarantee.
And that's where some folks at the mid-major level
are
concerned.
But there's a little difference in, you know, the level of competition, level of play.
But you understand Auburn's that concern where it's like, all right, well, if guys are going to leave starting jobs at the mid-major level to be reserves for SEC teams, that probably does not bode well long-term for, you know, the quality of football that you're going to see at the mid-major level.
No, that's true.
But it's you know, we'll see what ends up happening. Maybe Chambers is going to play more than we necessarily think.
And then just the aspect of coming from a coach, I've never been a, you know, high school or a college coach, but just the I, you know, I've had kids, I've raised kids, teenagers, and it's difficult enough to get them to understand what you're trying to teach them, much less if you're a coach. Now you're dealing with kids that have plenty of money and think they're to catch me out, and I don't know how these coaches are able to teach them anything. Mm-hmm. And Nick Saban was pretty prophetic. I've agreed with a lot of his stuff over the years, even though I despised him when he was playing Auburn. But I don't, you know, it's just not the same.
No, I don't disagree with you at all.
So I appreciate y'all's time. Y'all have a good afternoon.
Appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390.
Yeah, interesting stuff there about, you know, where things are headed with the roster acquisition and what have you. But, you know, I do think, I mean, you pivoting to basketball for a second, like, would you be surprised, Brian, to see Auburn stand pat at both guard and forward? Do you feel like it's urgent right now for them to add a player at both spots, at least for depth? I mean, Auburn's got three guards in the aftermath of Katie Johnson leaving. Auburn's got three guards that are at the moment on the hook for virtually all of the minutes in the backcourt, two starters and Todd Pettiford.
Well, I think it would be a mistake if they didn't add those two players, because they've got a chance to build one of the best rosters that Bruce Pearl's had at Auburn with the right pieces, and have a chance to, you know, compete on the highest stage next year. And when that opportunity presents itself, you got to jump and you got to go for it.
This Auburn may not have this opportunity again immediately. I mean, you hope that they do on a consistent basis. And that's one of the things the transfer portal can give you, that hope that you can do it. But Auburn's got more pieces set than they have in, you know, many, many years. And if they can add that other piece or two, they feel like they can, you know, they'll have everything available to make a deep run. 334-321-1390. Love for you to join in here on the Monday edition of the Drive.
Shout out to Lior, by the way, too. Were you guys at?
No, I didn't see that.
Was it Friday night? I believe it was Friday night. Lior Berman. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about, Bill?
No.
Friday night, Lior Berman played the national anthem at the baseball game on the electric guitar. Yeah.
You can see it. You can see it online. It's on there.
I got there. As they were about ready for the first pitch, I left early, so I missed that.
Yeah, you missed Lior doing the national anthem on the electric guitar, sort of Hendrix style, and did a very good job.
I did not know that.
Adam Cole shared video of it on his Twitter, and Lior joined the baseball the radio broadcast and sat in with Andy and Brad for a half inning too, and did a great job and expressed the interest. I'll throw this out there for Lior. Expressed interest in playing music at local venues in Auburn that would be interested in having him. So if you're if you're somebody out there looking to draw a crowd, Lior Berman's looking to play some music gigs in town, and I think folks would check that out. Lior Berman, he was pretty good. I mean, Brian, you were there for this.
I was not there Friday night.
Okay, you were not there Friday night, but you You understand what I'm talking about.
And I watched the video.
You've seen the video of it? Yes. Yeah, he was excellent. It was very cool. We'll show it to Bill during the commercial break.
I'll check it during the break.
And we'll get Bill's live reaction to it.
All right, good. I'll tell you what we will do. We'll get to break, and I'll check that out. I'd love for you to join us. Still got a few more minutes before we get to Tiger Takes. 334-321-1390. We'll be right back here on the Monday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. I was trying to check that after you asked me, so.
Right, and I got the I showed Bill the Lior Berman national anthem.
I am very disappointed that I was not there in time to hear that. I'm really impressed. Really impressed. That was a good job, Lior.
Yeah, great work by Lior Berman. You know, maybe he trots that out again before he leaves the area for good. But yeah, great stuff there from Lior. Brian,
yes.
Wanted to give you a chance to shout out Uncle Keith.
Oh, the most delicious red sauce you will ever,
right.
ever try.
Southern style salsa.
Salsa, yes. That's right.
Southern style salsa from Uncle Keith, but it is good on anything that you can imagine salsa being on. Yeah, you know, I'm becoming a little bit of a salsa and eggs guy, I've never really been a tomato. Never really been a tomato with my eggs guy, but a little bit of salsa is
you can throw it in on a lot of stuff.
A welcome addition.
It's homegrown right here in the state of Alabama. It's available in Publix throughout the state, Piggly Wiggly's, Renfro's in some areas. In Auburn, you can usually find it at the two Kroger's in town in Auburn, Opelika. Mm-hmm. And just give it a try. It's so fresh tasting. It will change the way you feel about salsa.
It really has for me. I mean, there's no question. Yep.
Delicious.
All right. One of the and we appreciate Uncle Keith's here on
sponsors
on ESPN 106.7 as well. The Auburn women off to a good start in their regional that they're hosting at the AU club. After day one, a 3-stroke lead. They're 2 over par, 290. South Carolina 3 shots back. Oregon and Tulsa are tied for, well, actually, Oregon, Tulsa, and Houston in a 3-way tie for third, 8 shots back at 10 over. So a good start for the Auburn women as the regional going through Wednesday at the AU Club. And admission's free. You want to see some excellent college golf.
Going to talk with Cooper McMurray in just about 10 minutes.
Yep.
Tiger Takes with the Auburn first baseman who had an eventful weekend. We talked to Cooper about it a little bit, but
snapped a hitless streak.
Well, had the arguing balls and strikes ejection on Friday.
Yep, so he was not available Saturday.
Not available Saturday, and I believe I could have this wrong, but I believe and baseball's cruel this way, Bill, where Connor gets ejected. Cooper gets ejected in the game Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's his turn in the order for the last
with the bases loaded and being the tying run
last at bat of the game.
Yeah,
his spot in the order comes up, and it's
You think he'll tell us what he said to get ejected?
We'll ask, Brian.
I think we'll ask.
We'll let you cue up that one. Yeah,
get that button ready.
But no, and then you're right. And then gets it going on Sunday.
Well, I mean the final pitch, tough. The next to the last pitch, I probably would have been tossed then on the strike two call. But yeah, we'll talk with Coop here at the bottom of the hour. 334-321-1390, and Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey guys, I don't follow it. College baseball, you know, as much as others, but I'm disappointed obviously in this year. Question I had, honest question, what makes a good baseball head baseball college coach? I mean, is it the on the field, is it recruiting, or is it training behind the scenes before the game, or is intra-game decisions? I mean, I sort of know what makes a good football coach, and is it because once the guys are out there, I mean, he can't go out there and swing the bat or throw the pitch, right?
If those three things are a pie, right, and you got to slice up how much of it's one, how much of it's the other, I'm still going to say, you know, it's still so much of it's the ingredients.
Talent.
So much of it's talent acquisition and getting the best players. And now with the portal, I mean, being a developer is huge. But when your rivals in the conference are going out and getting the very best players and not doing as much development because they can, you know, they can do what LSU did a couple years ago, or they can do what more teams are doing.
Yeah, wasn't Ole Miss's big home run hitter a transfer?
Yeah, I mean, Texas A&M went out and got several really talented transfers. They've been number one for most of the season.
I think in general, development isn't as important as it used to be in college athletics because the ability to bring in proven talent is now there with the portal and the immediate eligibility for undergraduate transfers and things like that. It's probably 80-90% recruiting.
So would you say, I mean, I guess part of it too would be being able to make evaluation of players that are maybe elsewhere and how they would fit in to your system. And sometimes you hit, you know, a home run, to say, but sometimes a guy just doesn't produce that you thought probably would, or I guess in this case this year we've had a lot of injuries and maybe some bad luck. But I mean, I'm hoping nobody's, you know, saying our coaches let us down. I mean, it seems to be, like you said, maybe a talent problem that in a year or two could turn around pretty quickly if we get the right people in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for every sport now with the transfer portal the way it is, that you'd better know anybody that goes in the portal that you feel like could fit and help you. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, you don't want to bring in guys in any sport that are gonna mess up whatever chemistry that you have. But you're always, I mean, we've talked about it constantly, that what you've got to be doing in basketball and football and baseball. I mean, in every sport, you better be looking to make your roster better. Every time a player goes into the portal, you got to go, ooh, could he make us better? Even if you've got somebody good, if you can get somebody better, you'd better be, you know, in there competing for them.
Okay. And last thing I'll ask, and I'll hang up. I appreciate you all taking my call. Is it easier or harder? I've always heard that Auburn and Alabama, you know, didn't have the scholarship money.
That's right.
To give.
Right, because of the lottery.
Baseball players.
Yep.
Right. Is it now because of NIL, is that sort of equated that, or are we still at a disadvantage when it comes to recruiting
the places that can offer stuff on top of NIL
still have an advantage.
Can still offer that stuff on I mean it's
now if Auburn can raise enough NIL to, you know, beat those guys out who are already offering a scholarship and now pile NIL on top of that. Now Auburn's got to make up that scholarship deficit and
so that's
throw the NIL on top of it. So, however, if you're keeping up with what's going on nationally, there have been proposals and talks, and one of them has to do with coming together with the players and having a agreement made with the
settlement, right basically.
And having a cap on how much you can spend NIL-wise or some sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Just a limit on the money that you can spend on players, and then also taking away scholarship limits for sports and letting schools decide how many to have.
Yeah, that would right. really be something to watch and
so
see how that goes.
That is, you know, what the Brown and House versus NCAA. Is the lawsuit it's basically two lawsuits in one in California. And that's the one where older players are suing, former student athletes are suing, claiming that because of the rules that were in place then, they couldn't earn on their NIL and they had money, they're entitled to money that they weren't allowed to earn as student athletes before the rules changed. The current student athletes suing are arguing that various NCAAs keep them from earning on their various NCAA rules keep them from earning on their name. And Bill, you asked once, well, what rules are still in place?
Yeah, that I still asked that.
And you know what? Brian just mentioned one: scholarship limitations.
Right. Yes.
That is a rule that,
that is one of the biggest.
That is a rule that is in place by the NCAA, and the student athletes are arguing the legal argument would be that because scholarship limitations are in place, sort of artificially through the NCAA, student athletes who want to go to places that have already reached their scholarship limit are, I guess that would be the argument, that because you're, you know, a place already has reached its scholarship limit, they can't offer you a scholarship, and so you can't earn as an SEC player versus a smaller conference player because of the scholarship limitations. Like if the NCAA settles, one would think that scholarship limitations could be in the crosshairs of that settlement. And then, as Brian has said, you could have a situation where there's NIL caps and things, but there's also maybe the scholarship limitations have to go away because or conferences have to decide.
Well, that could help baseball.
Right, that would even up things in
definitely
baseball.
Definitely would help baseball. Yeah. The questions that come from that then, the first big question is what happens to Title IX? How does that affect Title IX?
Well, in the new agreement, the Title IX would be, well, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. It may not, but it would be weighed against sports that produce revenue.
Yeah, it would have to be. I mean, right. It would have to be because.
But we'll see. I don't know. This is all just in the talk something's about.
Something's going to happen, though. This is gonna happen going to happen before long.
Yeah, no.
They're going to settle. They're going to have to.
Yes. House versus NCAA is the lawsuit is the lawsuit to watch. The number one lawsuit to watch involving this because that's the one that it's going to go to trial in December or January. It'll settle before that, and the settlement will be.
Big
billions of dollars being paid to former student athletes who wanted to, and there's probably going to be a period where people can still sign up.
It could cost Auburn and schools like Auburn around $20 million.
Could cost
some between 15 and 20 million.
That's generally been what's proposed.
Yeah, NCAA member institutions could be on the hook for quite a bit now, maybe more, down the line, and it also could change, could be seismic changes to some of the rules that are currently in place.
Yep, but changes are definitely coming.
Do you think, Brian, I mean, I feel like if possible, they'll try to get something in place this summer.
Oh, I mean, they've got to. They can't afford to go to trial and lose another case and then have everything just blow up and them not have any control over it. They've got to settle this. I think if they can reach an agreement with the parties and then they can take the agreement, both parties agreeing, to Congress, then they could probably get something done. Okay,
How do you feel about the situation? I mean, with this going on, and then UAB's players deciding to basically unionize.
Right.
I mean, do you see things heading? You see those things sort of coming together, or do you think that?
I think they got to handle it all at once. I can't afford to ignore one or the other. They've got to handle all of it. They got to just take care of it, and it's got to be part of a package. There's got to be a. Well, you would hope for the NCAA, SEC, Auburn, that there is some sort of spending cap put on the amount of money they can give scholarship players or players on teams.
Then you'd have the cheating would be the under the table stuff
right.
That goes
back,
on.
Back to the way
in addition to what everybody knows they can spend.
But if you do that and you allow baseball to have 30 scholarships or whatever the roster limit is set by the conferences or the NCAA, that would be the limit, mm-hmm. not. The 11.7 is it for
11.7?
Yeah, that would no
which
longer
which is one third of your total roster.
Right.
I mean, I years ago when I went, what is that? That's what I realized. It's you can have a 35-man roster, 27-man active roster, but a 35-man roster. So one third of that is what the brilliance was for scholarships.
That would finally even things up with like a school like Vanderbilt who can give all scholarships because they're a private school and. Other schools such as Mississippi State and LSU, which can give a lot more scholarship money.
So you think conferences or whatever, if it's the NCAA or the Super Conference or whatever, still going to have some type of limitations on scholarships, though?
Well, roster numbers. It'll be limited by roster numbers, right? So if baseball set up, you can only have 32 or 35 on roster, that would be how many scholarships you could give, and you don't have to. Right, what, it would be optional for schools.
So, I mean, what about football and basketball, though? I mean, if you don't have any limits,
right now,
there be some that would go, oh, I've got a 105, you know, that's what you have practicing.
Well, they would have to set all that. That would be part of the negotiations.
Because, I mean,
one of the first things
I heard was, well, it'd just be unlimited, whatever any school wants. And it's like, that wouldn't work.
Mm-mm.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break, our Tiger Take segment, coming up on the other side. So stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon with Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back. Or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. And once again, we're pleased to be joined by Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray. And Cooper, wild one yesterday. One of those that, man, big comeback, spot him five in the first inning, come all the way back, take a lead, and then, oh, crap, it looks like going to be a heartbreaking loss down to Auburn's last strike. And one of the more it's an unlikely kind of way to win the ball game, but big to get a win yesterday in the wrap up against Ole Miss.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was I was proud of the way that the guys fought all nine innings, and obviously you're not going to win that game without fight. I was really just proud of how we were able to pull it off, and the offense had the pitchers backs, and the pitchers had the offense back, so. It was a really good team win, and good for morale, definitely.
You got a bag of you got some nerd clusters for
Skittles,
for some sugar for Javon.
Definitely.
How about that?
it was funny. I mean, he was sitting all game, and had to stay ready at a moment's notice, and then when he got out there, we could all tell that he was running the bases to win the game. So that was huge for us, for him coming off the bench and. Putting pressure on the pitcher and the catcher and, just kind of causing havoc. And, ultimately it resulted in us winning the game. So, yeah, we're all happy that he did that.
Yeah, the Maynard triple and the – what was it? And then the – what was the –
Caleb Freeman.
Yeah. And then the single from Freeman to set it up. I mean, those were – I mean, just a really exciting last couple of at-bats there. And, of course, obviously –
Man, it really looked dire though. I mean, two quick outs and Mason down to his last strike. So I mean, it's one of those where that's why in baseball, any sport, but in baseball, really, it's like you never know. I mean, every pitch could be a turning point.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that pitcher came in Friday and kind of closed us out. Yep. He threw really well on Friday. It was good to get to be able to see him again and, have it go our way this time. But, yeah, I think that just shows the fight in this group and the effort that we're going to put in, no matter what the score is, no matter what our record is. And so, yeah, I'm just really proud of the guys.
Okay, Coop. So, yeah, good to get to see him again, maybe with a different guy behind the plate.
Yeah, maybe
bit. We've got to get in this because – I mean, I know it really had to suck not being available there for that Saturday ball game.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I had to deal with some of that. It was my fault. I said some things I shouldn't have said, but, you live and you learn. I was definitely regretting doing that because, I always want to be out there with my guys. So that was definitely a tough pill to swallow. Apologize, move on, and learn from it. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I said it a little while ago on the air. I would have been gone after the next and last pitch. I mean, that was the one, really, wasn't it? Yeah. Wasn't it the strike two?
Yeah, the 3-1 pitch is the one that really got me.
Yeah, no kidding.
Definitely shouldn't have done that and regret it. But move on and on, we learn.
Onward and upward, Coop. In a season that I know has been frustrating to everybody in that uniform, to see the moments of triumph like what you guys got to have yesterday and to do it in that fashion, it's got to be even more special. I guess when you've gone a long time without a drop of water, right? Like that's got to taste pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. I think like, again, it just shows that what the fight in this group is. Yeah, I mean, definitely this season hasn't been what any of us expected or what any of us wanted. But, yeah, you know, it's been frustrating. But, you know, I'm just super proud of the guys, you know, showing up to the field every day with a smile on their face, ready to go whenever they need to be and for the next game and the next game. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to these last eight games we have and, you know, trying to get on a run.
And the I'd be remiss if I didn't mention from yesterday's game too, because you had the thrilling end. You also had Ike Irish hitting a ball about that thing was destroyed. I mean that is one of the home runs of the year for this team.
But he tied you now, right?
I mean,
he did.
He
was laughing about that.
So it's on you now.
That thing was a bomb.
It was a bomb. Coop. It really was.
Yeah, you know, that's what he does. You know, he can do that whenever he steps up to the plate, and that's what makes him a dangerous hitter. But, you know, he can also battle you with two strikes and hit one down the third baseline if he needs to. So that's what makes him such a good hitter.
You've got Georgia Tech tomorrow over in Atlanta, and then a trip to Columbia, Missouri this weekend. I mean, it's been very impressive. I mean, no matter what, you guys showed it yesterday, but I mean, you keep on battling and you just feel like maybe a win like that yesterday can be that spark, because as we've talked all year, it's been baseball is such a streaky game. You guys got off to a fast start. Obviously, it's been a rough go here in conference play, but I mean, great time to turn it around.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, everyone knows that, you know, this isn't how we wanted our conference play to go. But, yeah, I think that these next six conference games really give us a chance to, you know, get some pride back into our program this season. You know, our program, the Auburn program, deserves that. So we're going to do that the best we can. And, yeah, you know, it starts tomorrow with Georgia Tech. It's a good baseball team. And, you know, we're going on the road to Atlanta. So, yeah, I think we're all looking forward to, you know, getting this week going and playing them tomorrow and then hopping on a plane on Thursday and heading to Columbia.
We had a caller earlier in the show asking about some of the younger players, you know, that could be, you know, part of this program moving forward and have taken steps forward, you know, and at the, I guess, you know, of the hitters, like Cade would come to mind, right, as a freshman who's taken big steps forward in a relatively short period of time, and as someone who's, you know, you've seen a lot of players come through college baseball in your career. What can you say about the steps? You know, what can you say about Cade as a teammate, as a player, and sort of how he's improved this season from where he was to now?
Yeah, you know, Cade's an awesome kid. He's always got a smile on his face no matter what's going on. And yeah, you know, I was just super super impressed with how, you know, he kind of got thrown in the mix out of the blue. And it was kind of like, here you go, freshman, kind of figure out SEC play. And, you know, he didn't hesitate. He just ran with it. You know, he trusts his ability, and, you know, he's got all the tools to, you know, in my opinion, to become a big leaguer. I mean, if you look at the kid, he passes the eye test right away, and, you know, he can swing it with anybody in the country, I believe. And so, yeah, it's been pretty special to see him, you know, kind of grow into the player that he is now. And, you know, he still has a ton of room. We all do. But, yeah, you know, the way he's done it and the way he's gone about his business to me has been the most impressive part. And, you know, kind of just getting thrown in there and saying, all right, well, here I am. And then he has three hits in one game against LSU. And then he had a great weekend this weekend. So, yeah, I mean, it's been pretty special to watch.
Coop, I mean, do you feel like you just don't see fastballs anymore? It feels like it just feels like all you're going to get is sliders, breaking balls, down, you know, just down.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely, you know, everyone's got a scattering report nowadays, and I would say that that's definitely the scattering report on me. So maybe now it's time to, you know, just kind of be able to say, all right, well, if you're going to throw it to me, I'm going to hit it, or, you know, I'm going to take my walks and, you know, get on base mm-hmm. to help the team. And that's really been the frustrating part for me, is I haven't been doing that for the guys. Really, I kind of had a little bit of a cold streak there, but, you know, hopefully yesterday, and, you know, I'm seeing the ball well, feel good in the box.
Good.
So hopefully we can run with that this week.
Well, that's great. Wish you the best. Again, before we let you go, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media.
Yes, sir. My Instagram is cmcmurray_, and my Twitter is @coopmc9.
Do you guys have anybody graduating this semester? I was at
over the weekend.
I was at one of the ceremonies.
Yeah, we had Tanner Bauman, Connor Copeland graduated, Christian Hall, and then I think there's a couple others, but I can't.
Pretty good
think
group.
Of them.
Yeah, very very cool.
Yeah, definitely a good group.
Congratulations to all those guys. Big moment, awesome to see them get their degrees.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Coop. Thanks again. We really appreciate you spending time with us each week. Best of luck this week, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good week.
See you, Coop.
Cooper McMurray joining us with Tiger Takes, which is proudly presented by the Alsobrook Law Group on the web at alsolaw.com.
He's great.
Yeah, he really he is.
Yeah, great. Love talking to Coop this season.
We will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack Hutton
and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews. And our thanks to Cooper McMurray. Yeah, I mean, it's tough for him, you know. And he's right. He'd gone through a slide. He hit the ball pretty well yesterday. Yeah. Got a base hit yesterday. And, you know, again, Ike has been struggling. We were talking about it a little while ago. I mean, the four guys that Auburn was counting on about as much as anyone this year with Mason Manners, Cooper Weiss, the way he got off to a start, Cooper and Ike Irish. You were saying y'all were figuring it in the dugout. And somebody posted it, and I saw the numbers that, you know, going into yesterday over the last 10 or 12 games, that quartet was hitting under 100.
And, you know, when Ike and Manners gets hurt.
Yeah.
Bobby's
been hurt,
and then
still not back.
He doesn't have, you know, Cooper doesn't have guys around him, right? So pitchers can pitch around him and just throw him a bunch of breaking balls, and you know, if they walk him, no big deal. So it's been tough, that lineup getting hurt and having struggles has coincided with the pitching starting to come together a little bit. It's just been one of those seasons for Auburn.
It really has. I mean, it's just and I wasn't kidding when I was saying a little while ago. To Cooper, you just never know in baseball. I mean, something good happening for you can trigger everything, because this team is not without talent.
Right.
When you're going through a losing streak, bad times, sometimes you're almost just waiting for, oh, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And oh crap, here we go. And that two strike, two out triple by Mason. You never know. Maybe something it could click. But here's the crazy thing. I mean, they could win out and still not make the SEC tournament now, because all it takes is a win. I think a win by LSU. Either LSU or Alabama.
Right. I mean, they basically have to win out. I mean, they have to win out.
Yeah. They have to win out, and then Ole Miss or LSU has to lose out. Yes. One of those two.
Yes.
They were on the thinnest of ice going into game on Sunday.
And it's thinner.
They won.
Well, no, I thought you meant going into the weekend. No, going into yesterday.
Yes.
They did what they had to do yesterday.
But they'd put themselves
thing is, they're not, they don't control what the other teams do now.
We should mention the ambush dates too.
We got that earlier today.
That's the Auburn Alumni Association's engagement tour is going to have four locations this summer: Birmingham on June 25th, Lake Martin on July 2nd, and then two dates, a doubleheader in Texas.
Oh, that's cool! Lake Martin on the July 4th time. Now, the 4th, I think, is in the middle of a weekend.
I don't know when July 4th is off the top of my head. The date is the 2nd. I mean, I don't know what day July 4th is.
What day's your? Well, you should be able to subtract from your birthday and figure it out.
I don't know what day. I mean,
you don't know.
I don't know that off the top of my head either.
Oh, well.
It's July 17th. They will be doing a doubleheader in Texas in the afternoon in Houston and in the evening in Dallas-Fort Worth. And those will be...
July 4th is a Thursday.
Those will be Hugh Freeze, Bruce Pearl, double. Those will be both of them making the appearances in Texas. I think just Bruce Pearl slated for the Alabama dates in Birmingham and Lake Martin.
That's good to know. Brian, before we're out of time, I mean, let everybody know, we didn't even get into your Monday Musings sponsored.
Did the Smiths this week?
Yeah.
80s alternative band. I heard about them a lot in the 80s, but I never actually listened to their music, so that was a good chance for me to learn a little bit more about them. They're from Manchester, England. And I talked a little bit about what I think is an excellent job by Auburn in the transfer portal this time around, especially the spring. I think they've really helped
the team
out.
And they had another player since you wrote that.
Yep, just a nice depth piece on the offensive line.
There's a movie from about 20 years ago, Brian, called 24-Hour Party People, and it's about the music scene in Manchester that created the Smiths and some of those other bands, and the record label that signed Joy Division and a lot of those the British New Wave bands of the 70s and early 80s. And it's very good. Steve Coogan's in it. And it's a 24-hour party people is the name of it. It's very cool.
And, of course, my Monday Musings are brought to you by Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, along with the sponsor of this radio station. So give it a try.
Yeah, absolutely. And so while we're on the subject, though, I mean, while we've got time, what all's coming up at AuburnSports.com? How can folks keep up with all that and follow you?
Yeah, and we'll continue to monitor the basketball and football transfer portal.
Hopefully some news from the basketball portal this week. Positive.
Should have some visitors in. And even though the football portal is closed, you can still take players from it. And if you're a graduate transfer, you can still go in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not completely. There's always some exception there, right? But all that, baseball, softball, golf, competing for national championships with the women and the men. AuburnSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter/X and Threads at BMATAU.
Great timing, Brian. I mean, you couldn't have done it better. I mean, Brian wraps it up as the music starts.
He stuck the landing.
He's been doing this for a while.
Stuck the landing.
Yeah. All right.
Uncle Keith's Red Sauce is delicious, by the way. Outstanding. Find some somewhere here locally. It's really good stuff.
And we have to restock on our next trip to the grocery store.
I might be stopping on the way home for some.
Yep. All right. That's going to wrap things up for the Monday edition of The Drive. We got you again tomorrow.
No Andy tomorrow because they're in Atlanta, but we should have Jake Crane in hour number two and a whole lot more.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll join us as well. That's going to do it for the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.